Dave, you know why I love using Zencastr?
Is it because the recording quality is better than other methods of recording a podcast virtually?
Nope.
Is it because they offer a free version for hobbyists just getting started?
No, not that.
Is it because it's super easy to use for everyone and none of our guests have ever had an issue using it?
That's not it.
Is it because they offer automatic post-production and transcription services?
Negative.
Stop burying the lead. Why do you love Zencastr?
It's because Zencastr is all of the things you just said, Dave. Well, and they sponsor this pod. That's right, Adventures in Collecting is powered by Zencastr. How about your pod? Get started now with Zencastr and use our code to start podcasting today. Visit zencastr.com/pricing and use promo code AICPOD to get 30% off your first 3 months of their professional plan or try it for free. That's zencastr.com/pricing and use promo code AICPOD.
Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting.
Hello.
Dave, we're back.
Yeah, we are.
We're here. We're back with a new episode. Before we get started, though, just a teeny tiny little bit of housekeeping, something that we don't normally do at the beginning of our episodes. But this episode, if you are listening to this today and the episode is brand new, there are still a few days left to donate toys to our toy drive, our Toys for Tots toy drive. You can visit chubzywubzy.com. That's chubzywubzy.com. And you can purchase any toy on the website and in the cart. Just make a note that it is for the Toys for Tots toy drive and select in-store pickup. And what we'll do is, along with our friends at and sponsors at Chubzy Wubzy, we will bring all of those toys directly to the Santa train when it makes its stop here in New Jersey. So we'll make the donation, make a fun video when we do that. But if you're looking to donate a toy and you don't want to leave your house and find one of the Toys for Tots drop-off locations, you can just go to the website, order one, and we'll do the heavy lifting for you. So, yeah, you still got a couple days left to do that. And with that, Dave, it's our time-honored tradition.
Yes, Eric. Yeah, we are not going to bury the lead, Eric.
No, we're not going to bury it any further. So, I'm excited about today. I'm excited about tonight. I'm excited about all the episodes, but I'm particularly excited about this because this is something new for us, which is awesome. For nearly 56 years, Playmates Toys has been producing plastic for iconic brands including Star Trek, Godzilla, Billie Eilish, Toxic Crusaders, one of my favorite, and of course, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Joining us today on the pod are John Stelzner and Pat Linden, Vice Presidents of Marketing at Playmates Toys. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you very much. It is a privilege to be here with you guys.
So we've been, we like to look at our previous guests as like cards in our binder as we collect guests, and it's taken us 3 years, but Playmates, we finally got you guys on here. So
yeah,
really excited to chat with you. But as this show is a show about collecting, before we get started learning a little bit more about you and you know what you guys do at Playmates, tell us, John, Pat, what are you guys collecting?
Well, I mean, I think we, Pat and I both have been fortunate, you know, having worked at Playmates for so many years, we've had the opportunity, I think, to collect a lot of what Playmates works on, you know, whether it's Ninja Turtles, now Star Trek, or back in the 90s Star Trek, other things like The Simpsons too, which I still have many, many Simpsons figures sitting here with me at home as we're doing this call. So, I think, for me, collecting sort of began when I was a kid with Star Wars, and it's never really quite left me. So I just like collecting a lot of the great figures that are out there.
Yeah. And for me, likewise with John, being at Playmates for as long as I have, I've always loved collecting the different products that I worked on. And, obviously all those products hold a special place in my heart, I guess, because, I had a say in how they came out and was able to influence the direction of the look and so on. But, there's nothing greater than going to retail and seeing some of the products that I had a chance to work on and seeing them on shelf and actually, owning them as well.
So was there a particular, for either of you, sticking with kind of the vein of collecting, was there a particular product that you worked on that like you were really excited to see in a store? Like, was there one that like you remembered like jumping out at you that that holds any kind of significance?
I mean, I think they're all kind of our babies, right? So I don't know if there's one that stands out above the rest. I think, part of what makes it work is that we are such huge fans of all these properties, and we're so privileged to work on them. I think I mentioned, Simpsons is sort of surrounding me now. I've always been a Simpsons fan. And, back in the, I guess it was early 2000s, when we started working on Simpsons, I was so excited to be able to do that because, it was the opportunity to really bring that wealth of characters to life. And, we're kind of doing the same thing now with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but even with Star Trek, it's just these deep, deep library of characters that we can create, and so excited about doing that.
Yeah, and for me, it's likewise with John. The brands that we get to work on are awesome. The first brand that I worked on at Playmates was actually Star Trek. So I know John is working on Star Trek now, and I am working on Ninja Turtles. But, like John, when I started at Playmates and being able to work on Star Trek, to be honest, I didn't really know that much about Star Trek at the time. But obviously working on the brand, you want to learn as much as possible. So you start watching the episodes, you start with the original series, then you start watching Next Generation, and then you start developing these toys that are associated with the TV shows. And at one point, my big thing was collecting the 12-inch figures that we did for Star Trek. And I think at one point I had between 18 and 20 different figures that were, on a ledge in my apartment in California. And, they just bring enjoyment. And, John mentioned Simpsons too. And I was lucky enough to be able to work on that product line as well. So like John, I do have a number of different Simpsons figures, different playsets and environments that we've did over the years as well. And again, another great property with a wealth of different characters and even Ninja Turtles. I started working on Ninja Turtles really in 2003 and have been basically working on it ever since. So I do have a fair share of Ninja Turtle toys as well. And unfortunately, I don't have a separate room in my house where I can display all these toys. So a lot of them are in storage, unfortunately.
Now, you mentioned some iconic lines that Playmates has put out over the years. The World of Springfield, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, of course, Star Trek. Collectively, you both have been with Playmates for over 20 years. So a lot of iconic lines in that time frame. Tell us a little bit about your journey to Playmates and what you currently do there.
Sure. You want me to start? So I started with Playmates. Pat, you and I started the same year. I think it was 1998.
Yes.
1998. Yeah. So Pat and I started the same year. I kind of came from a a little bit of a toy background before I came to Playmates back in 98. I had worked for Walt Disney Consumer Products, so I got a chance to work on a lot of the great product characters from the Disney line. And then this opportunity came up to work for Playmates, and obviously I knew what they had done with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and so I was super excited about coming and joining the team. And in the first almost six years that I was there, because I got again, the opportunity to work on so many great lines. Then this is actually, now at Playmates, this is actually my second time with Playmates. So I kind of left Playmates the first time and went and did some other, worked for some other companies in the toy industry, and then came back, and Playmates is really, like a family, And so when the opportunity came to come back to Playmates, I knew I had to do it. And now this time around, I've been back almost 11 years with Playmates, and kind of never really left the toy industry, but Playmates is really home, and it's where we get the opportunity to really get in deeply into development. It's not just marketing. I know Pat's and my title is marketing, but at Playmates, we have the opportunity to kind of really dive in and handle all of the development from concept through production. Working with the studios and really creating the best product out there. We're very collaborative. We're very lean. We're not that giant company, but that's what gives us really the ability to really pay attention to the detail and really get involved in the detail that we're creating. So, there's several of us at Playmates that have sort of worked at Playmates and come back. And Pat, I think you are the true trooper, because Pat will tell you, Pat never left Playmates. He's just been there forever. So, Pat.
Yeah. So I started at Playmates in 1998, and this year celebrated my 24th anniversary at Playmates.
Congratulations.
Prior to starting at Playmates, I worked at a company in Iowa, actually Dyersville, Iowa, where the Field of Dreams is. Called the Ertl Company.
Oh, wow.
And started there in customer service, and Ertl is world renowned for their farm toys, diecast farm toys. So that's where I started my roots in the toy business, started in customer service, and then moved over to marketing, and have a nice collection of diecast farm toys in my parents' house back in Iowa. They never made the trip to California yet, but they will someday. Started there, worked there for 5 years, and then came to Playmates in 1998. As I mentioned previously, the first product line that I worked on at Playmates was Star Trek. And then, John, I think when you left Playmates, we were still doing Simpsons at the time, and took over development of the Simpsons line as well. Over the years, had the opportunity to work on a number of great lines, whether it's action figure related, vehicles. Even worked on the Billie Eilish dolls as well. Did a little bit of work on Miraculous Ladybug too. So, I feel like I have a pretty well-rounded background in toys, whether they're action figures, vehicles, or dolls for that matter. But yeah, Playmates is definitely been very, very good to me. And, I just love the culture there from the standpoint, like John said, we run very lean. So when we take on a brand, we literally take on a brand from soup to nuts. We're involved in every step of the process, whether it's marketing, product development, or even sales for that standpoint as well. But it has been truly been a great experience overall.
Yeah, all the good girls go to hell, Billie Eilish action figure, the one with the big wings, that's a permanent part of my display. Like, I love that figure.
Yeah, obviously working on characters and or people, I guess, in the music industry, a little bit different than working on whether it's movie properties or TV properties, but the same time, still a lot of fun, and you put your heart and soul into it.
Hey, and it's it's, you know, her stuff is very toyetic. Like her looks, those music videos, they lend themselves very well to toy. So that was a fun little, I don't know if you want to say experiment, but a fun little like mini line. I mean, the products you guys put out for her were excellent.
No, yeah, it was
fantastic figure.
Pardon me?
Yeah, fantastic figure.
Oh, thank you. No, you know what? It was truly a lot of fun to work on. Challenging, because you know you're working with an actual person, and everything is based on her. And the fact that she was, you know, probably wasn't even 21 at the time, you know, made it all that much more interesting. But at the same time, a lot of fun to work on, and obviously a very talented singer at the same time.
So from the stage and music videos to the final frontier, Star Trek is arguably in kind of a new renaissance right now with all the new content that's being produced, in that canon, across mediums. So tell us about why Playmates decided to relaunch the toy line now.
Well, I think just like you said, I mean, Star Trek's kind of in its renaissance now from Paramount, largely thanks to streaming, I think, you know, because now they are creating all these wonderful shows. And, Playmates and Paramount, you know, have such a strong relationship, starting with Turtles and then obviously having done Star Trek in the past as well, that we just started talking with them again about relaunching Star Trek. Everybody loved that idea. We've gotten a lot of feedback from fans that they're really happy to see Playmates back in the Star Trek business. And, we knew with all of the classic properties as well as all the new properties, we really had something here. And, you'll see from our new line that's launched, you know, we're kind of mixing a little bit of the classic and mixing in some of the new as well with the some of the Discovery figures. And, we're really excited about what the future holds for Star Trek. We're working on other properties within Star Trek again. So whether it's additional classic properties or some of the new properties, and even with Paramount launching their first, not even their first, but kind of launching a new kids property for Star Trek, which is Prodigy. So we're working on some stuff with that as well. So, you know, whether you're a longtime Star Trek fan and collecting Star Trek, or whether you are a kid who's getting into Star Trek, you know, I think there's a lot of places we can go with it.
So I am one of those kids, and my brother can attest to this. That the Playmates line, that Next Generation line, was what actually got me into Star Trek.
Oh, great!
And I still have a bunch of my figures from that time period. Especially that movie with was it Malcolm McDowell was in it?
Oh yeah, right.
Generations, yep. I think was the film. Yeah, so like especially that figure line, like that was associated with that film. Was really what kind of hooked me. Having a figure line that had, Picard and Captain Kirk and new characters, was a really, fun way to kind of get into the whole thing. And now seeing that again, having the figures again is just really, brings me right back. Brings me right back to the moment I had those original figures.
Yeah, and that's great. It's great to hear. I think one of the things we knew right from the beginning was that, especially when we're talking classic figures, that we wanted to bring some of those back. We wanted to kind of keep them in kind of a nostalgic retro feel, but really kind of utilize some of the new sculpting technologies and painting technologies and things like that to really kind of make them even more realistic than toys from the 90s look, so that you could really collect a true likeness of your favorite characters. And, you know, we actually are using a lot of the same sculptors that we used in the 90s. Principal among them, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Steve Varner, but he's kind of a legend in the toy sculpting, figure sculpting arena. And he actually sculpted the figures back in the 90s. We're using him again. Of course, like I said, they're using a lot more advanced digital sculpting technology now. Really not using any kind of scans of the actors, just kind of really using his talent like he always had to bring those likenesses to life.
Yeah, they were great back then, and they're even better now.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's awesome to see, like, you know, the classic figures get those modern touch-ups really kind of make them feel nostalgic but also feel new at the same time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we try to keep even the package, kind of give it kind of a retro look until we get into some of the new shows like Discovery, where we're kind of taking a Star Trek universe branding approach to that. But, besides figures, obviously we have our Enterprise ship that's out there with lights and sounds, and our original series phaser. So, I think, with the figures and with ships and role play, I think we can really capture a lot of what's available in the Star Trek universe.
So now you've mentioned Discovery. There's also Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, represented, and The Next Generation so far in the line.
Yep.
Are the plans to continue with just these three properties, or will we see other aspects of the Star Trek canon worked into the line?
Yeah, you'll definitely see other aspects. We're working on some stuff now from other shows. I mentioned Prodigy, which hopefully will be out by Easter of this next year of 23. So you'll see some of the Prodigy figures come out. There's actually some images that we've put out there already. Maybe you've seen them, but those products should become available. We will continue to do more next gen figures and maybe more original series figures or movie figures. But because there's so many great shows out there, whether it's Discovery that we're doing now, or whether it's Strange New Worlds, which is a great series, or eventually down the road, looking at doing some Lower Decks eventually as well. So all of that's currently in various stages of development, and you'll see a lot of new stuff coming out in 2023. So,
well, because those original lines were very deep. Mm-hmm. As far as like Next Generation and the Star Trek Classic, I think you got like most of the, if not the most of the characters in general, but a lot of the like core characters that were around the series, both series, for a long time.
Right.
Now, big question, when it comes to something like a Lower Decks, is it going to be that animated look, or is there going to be an opportunity to kind of almost make the figures work together in a sense?
I would say it's going to retain its animated look, because that's sort of at the heart of what Lower Decks is. We kind of did the same thing with Prodigy, which is animated. They are the same scale. They'll feel like they could exist in the same world. But they'll definitely kind of maintain more of their animated look. We're not trying to take an animated look and create a real, human-looking person, character out of it. We want to keep them true to what they are. So, we would look to kind of develop them as animated styling, but again, to the same scale and whatnot, so that they can all fit in the same universe.
So, moving on from Star Trek to something else that we're both very big fans of, Godzilla and the MonsterVerse.
Yep.
So Playmates continues to produce toys from the world of Godzilla, but with no new American film coming out at least until 2024, what's the plan for the product line moving into 2023?
So for 2023, we're just going to continue. We kind of have our line kind of divided into two segments. We have the MonsterVerse line, which is sort of focused around all of the legendary entertainment, legendary movies. And then we have our Toho Classic series. And so that kind of captures all of the kaiju monsters from the, throughout the history of Toho. So there'll be a few new classic figures coming out, which will also include, actually, Toho is, you know, currently has a anime show on Netflix called Singular Point. And so we are doing a couple figures on that. We actually have a figure out now and launching another figure. And then on the Legendary side, the Monsterverse side, we're kind of bringing in some of the monsters that are that go earlier from Godzilla versus Kong. You know, Godzilla versus Kong is sort of where we came in with Legendary, and we did that movie line. But now we're going back and we're kind of exploring monsters like Ghidorah from King of Monsters, and Kong from Skull Island. I guess the biggest thing that we're doing now with as an exclusive with Target is we're doing what we're calling the Titan Tech monsters. So these are transforming Godzilla and transforming Kong. They transform from their original form to kind of a Monarch technology armored form, you know, so that they can do battle with each other in this armor. So we're going to be expanding that line. We have Godzilla and Kong out there now, and we're going to be expanding that line for Target and have our new figure out, which will be a completely different kaiju than Godzilla and Kong, at Target this summer, or summer of 23. So that's been very successful for us. You know, I don't think a Godzilla or Kong, monster line that transforms has ever been out there. And, we're seeing a lot of success with that right now. And all of that's just going to build to what we're going to be doing in 2024 for the new movie. So.
Yeah, very cool. That's another one of those things, like, you know, I actually just went to our local Alamo Draft House. On Godzilla Day, was doing a screening of a 4K restored 1954 cut of the film, and I've never seen it in a theater before, and it was the original, you know, Japanese subtitled.
Yep.
And it was so cool to see, you know, like a redone, you know, or a remastered, I should say, cut of it, you know, and you know, to kind of get to experience that. So I love kind of the dichotomy of seeing those Toho monsters. I think the other day I bumped into like a Jet Jaguar at Target, and I was like, whoa. So, you know, it's cool to see that along with the Monsterverse stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think especially on the classic side with the Toho side, of our business, you know, because there's so many monsters, and we actually work with Toho, to kind of, understand, you know, not only throughout history, what has been most popular, but what fans are looking for now. And so between Toho and Playmates, we've kind of put together a list of, you know, what monsters we should be releasing, what comes out next. You know, we have, like you mentioned, Jet Jaguar, which is very popular, and, we're actually, won't be out for this holiday, but it'll be out, in early spring. We're actually launching, Baragon as our next monster.
No way.
So, yes.
Very cool.
It's not only about Godzilla, it's about all these great monsters that Toho's created, and you know, we're thrilled to be able to work on all of them. So
now, you mentioned all of these different, you know, kaiju from Toho or from Legendary, mm-hmm. but where do you guys get the ideas for what monsters to use? Like, do you consider fan polls, or is it just something internal? Is it something studio related? Like, what causes the direction?
Yeah, I mean, really on the Toho side, you know, it's just kind of working with Toho. I mean, they have this immense history of all of the monsters that have kind of risen to the top as the ones that fans just fall in love with and keep asking for. And so we kind of put together that list, and, you know, we always try to mix in there's so many different versions of Godzilla as well. So we always try to mix in, you know, a new Godzilla from a different film. But then we kind of have the other than Godzilla monster list that that we worked with Toho on, and we kind of pull from that as we're going and kind of working our way through the list. So I mean, you know, Gigan and Destroya and Jet Jaguar, and Nick had mentioned Baragon now. So you know, those are the ones that sort of have risen to the top of the list, and those are the ones we're trying to release, you know, as soon as we can. We try to come out with new monsters. Usually it's about two or three different monsters twice a year for the Toho side. And then similar on the Legendary side, but of course we're also building, already started developing what the line is going to look like for the 2024 movie as well. So,
well, in case you guys are not like fully in tune with it, which I'm sure you are, but Hedora and Biollante are having like a moment right now.
No, they are. They are.
It's weird for those two in 2022 to like all of a sudden be like, granted, Godzilla versus Biollante is probably one of the best ones, but like,
yeah,
you know, those two monsters are just, they're like surging in popularity. It's crazy.
Yeah. No, you're right. And those are at the top of our list. And those are ones that we're, you know, they're in the hopper for development for sure.
Awesome. I'm sure people will be thrilled to hear that. Yeah. And to your point too, with all the different versions of Godzilla, that's part of the fun of it, right? Is like, you know, pairing up, you know, for the purists out there, pairing up the, you know, the appropriate Godzilla with the other, you know.
That's right. No, that's absolutely right. Yeah, for sure.
And you know, it's you know, all ages Godzilla. It's, you know, Godzilla will always be new to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, was in Target one time with my girlfriend, and we were, you know, I was kind of cruised by the toy aisles, of course. And there was a kid, like, who was just, like, couldn't decide which Godzilla to get. You know, it's like, oh, but I want both God. Yeah, like it was.
Yeah,
it was one of it was like one of those things where I was like, that's cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. I can totally understand that. I mean, what's not to love about giant monsters knocking stuff over, you know? So, I mean, you know, it's every kid's fantasy play to be sure.
And now a word from our sponsors.
This segment is brought to you by our friends at Chubsy Wubsy Toys. A traditional mom-and-pop toy store in Little Falls, New Jersey, Chubsy Wubsy Toys brings you the best new toys from the brands you love without the hassle of pounding the pavement searching for them at larger retail stores. Visit them in person at 106 Main Street in Little Falls, New Jersey, or online at ChubsyWubsy.com. That's ChubsyWubsy.com. And tell them Adventures in Collecting sent you.
Hop into a new career with CGC, the world leader in pop culture collectibles grading. CGC is seeking world-class Funko Pop experts to lead a new division dedicated to authenticating and grading collectible toys. This is an incredible opportunity to help build a new grading service in a hot collectibles category. Think you can play the part? Apply today at cgcgrading.com/careers. That's cgcgrading.com/careers.
So, Eric, I ran to the store today, and I was doing that power walking thing to the toy aisle. The guy next to me was, too. And guess what happened?
You were both headed for the same figure, weren't you?
Yep, but I got there first.
Now that's a close shave.
You know what else is? A nice trim, thanks to this show's sponsor, Manscaped.
Dang right, Dave. And that's the kind of close shave I can get behind, and you all should too. I just used the Mower 4.0 with its cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof and also has a 4000K LED spotlight if you need a more precise shave.
And if you thought that was good, you can take your grooming game even further. You can take it to the next level. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer.
And don't forget about their Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner. They'll change the way you approach your hygiene routine. Trust me when I say this, guys. Your balls will thank you.
Manscaped's Performance Package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. Get 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code AIC at manscaped.com. If my math is correct, that's about 14 million balls.
That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com with code AIC. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. As collectors, we've all faced tough builds. Whether it's a challenging toy transformation, a complicated model kit, or playset, we have always had an instruction manual to help us get to the finish line. Unfortunately, mental health has no instruction manual. That's why finding the right therapist to guide you and teach you how to healthily get a handle of your mental health is so important. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists, available 100% online. Plus, it's affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match up with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It couldn't be simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/AIC. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/AIC.
And now, back to the show.
So, we've talked about Star Trek, we've talked about MonsterVerse and Godzilla, but when people think Playmates, they think Toxic Crusader. No, they think the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right? So, what's it like getting to work on a brand that really kind of reshaped the toy world like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles did?
No, look, it's really a privilege. I mean, we say in Playmates, you know what, if you can't have fun walking or working on Ninja Turtles, then you shouldn't be in the business. And like you said, Ninja Turtles is one of those brands that, you know, never goes away and will always have a following, I think. The way that it's been reinvented over the years and the fact that it's still as relevant today as it was back in, you know, the late 80s and early 90s during that original series when it was very popular then. So it's, I think, you know, a lot of people have a very special place in their heart for Ninja Turtles that played with it back in the 80s and 90s. And to think that those kids back then are now adults today that have kids and probably are influencing their kids to play with Ninja Turtles to this day as well. So it's just one of those great properties.
It's wild. It's never, we've said this on the show several times, but like, it's never been a better time to be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles collector. Like it has never been a better time because there is, you know, an ocean of Ninja Turtles products out there to, you know, to enjoy. And it's crazy too, because there's really no new media right now. Like we're in between, you know, I guess there's been a couple of new video games, but like, you know, and comics, but there hasn't been a new movie, a new TV show in a few years now.
No, you're right. You're right. And that, I think, speaks to the popularity of Ninja Turtles and the fact that, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, Ninja Turtles were so popular and there's millions of kids that played with it at the time. And the fact that those kids are now adults that have their own kids, I think to a lot of these people, it's still relevant to them and has a special place in their heart that they get to play with them yet today, collect them, but again, influence the kids that they have today to play with the same turtles that they played with back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, Eric, you could speak to this personally, right? Like you've
yeah.
had that cross-generational situation happen.
Yeah, I cut my teeth on hand-me-down turtles. and then like, you know, by the time I was into them, that kind of original run was starting to, I don't want to say scraping the bottom of the barrel, but like, you know, all of the new releases that were coming out were the kind of origins of those crossover ones. So like, I remember, you know, Basketball Donatello and, you know, the Universal Monsters, you know, mashups and like all of those like weird, super toyetic, super fun, you know, as a kid, like looking back at them now. So when I was a kid, I loved them. Looking back at them now, it's just like, I can't believe that they existed. Like that's where the toy line went, like logistically. But, you know, it's just, yeah, turtles are multi-generational. My 7-year-old daughter plays with them now, you know, like it's just, and those figures from the 80s and 90s, they hold up, man. They're still kicking. Missing a few accessories, but they're, you lose those ninja stars, you know, that just, they've ended up in vacuums over the years, but, you know, the figures hold up really well.
Yeah. To the point where we've seen, you know, a rollout of the box sets featuring reproductions of the 80s and 90s figures, those classic re-releases. So what was the thought behind going that route with, the turtles and then the villains and the movie star turtles?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, the pandemic, I think, you know, like we discussed earlier, during the pandemic, I think there were a lot of people out there that were looking for things to do. And, you know, obviously a lot of those kids back then are adults today. And the Ninja Turtle product that is out there, they took a liking to and started collecting. And we had a customer that actually put a request in for, you know what, can we get the original four turtles, Shredder and Splinter, and can we not only get those original figures, but then put those in a package that is reminiscent of something that existed, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, and it was the original party van that we came up with to pack those figures out in, and it did very, very well with them. And so we started doing additional sets for other retailers as well. You know, you'd mentioned the movie star turtles. We did a number of different enemy combatant figures, and almost all those figures were based on those original tools from back in the 80s that were sitting in a warehouse in China that luckily didn't get disposed of. And we were able to pull them out of storage and check them to make sure that they were workable and that could still produce toys, and they could. So, you know, I think done a really good job of managing, you know, those original figures and original tools and come up with some pretty good sets.
So wait a second. That was going to be my follow-up question to this, but I just want to make sure I heard
that
right.
Yeah, I was going to ask that too.
So I was under the, I have that first set, the one that you were talking about, that first one that came out, and I couldn't bear to actually like open them off of the card. Once I actually opened the party wagon, I was like, oh, I don't know if I can actually open these. And I'm an opener. Like I open and play with everything, but I have that one packed away nice right now. But mm-hmm. I was under the impression, just, you know, kind of, we've been doing this for 3 years. We've had this conversation with, you know, numerous toy makers and designers. Like those molds have a finite life. Like eventually they can't produce any more figures off of them. But these are the original tools from, like, from the original, you know, production runs of these figures.
Yeah, some of them are. We've had to retool some accessories and other parts, but a lot of those are based on the original tools from the 80s and 90s.
Unbelievable.
That's amazing.
Because those things must have produced, like, at the height of, like, you know, turtle fever, like, a ridiculous amount of action figures. And they're still viable.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times they require some refurbishing and such, but still workable today.
Bananas. That is super cool. that is that is literally, that makes me want to actually open them more, just to like have like a fresh 1986 turtle in my hand.
Wow. Yeah, that's really cool.
And was Playmates aware that those tools were being stored, or like, was it like, hey, do you still have them?
You know, we had a listing of the tools that were available, but again, you don't really know until you go to the warehouse somewhere in China, pull them out of that warehouse, and, you know, check the condition of them, see if they are workable. In some cases, they are not, or there are parts of the tool that are not, and you have to create new parts or refurbish. But yeah, I mean, those tools are obviously made of steel, so they last a long, long time.
Very cool. Now,
yeah, and just on like a history standpoint too, that's just amazing.
Yeah. Oh, I have like chills. Awesome. So in a world where, you know, seemingly every major toy brand is making some kind of Ninja Turtle product, Playmates is continuing the long tradition of crossing the turtles over into other worlds. How did you guys land on Cobra Kai, Stranger Things, and Street Fighter in these recent mashups?
Yeah, well, like you said, back in the 80s and 90s, whether it was a mashup or a collaboration, you know, the turtles are very malleable in regards to, you know, you can apply almost any theme to them, and you know, it appeals to kids. And you know, back in the 90s, what did we do? We did a Star Trek mashup. We did Troll Turtles, Universal Monster Turtles. So we always knew that basically, you know, you could try a lot of different themes, and a lot of different themes crossed with turtles would work. And if you look at some of the hot properties of today, such as a Cobra Kai, that you know, involved similarities with turtles, where it was about karate or mixed martial arts, ninjas, and you know, doing the collaboration with that and teaming up the popular Cobra Kai characters with the turtles, you know, like why not? Let's give it a shot. And luckily, we had a couple work colleagues that work at Sony and pitched the idea to them, and you know, they went with it. With Stranger Things, a little bit different. That was actually a request from a customer. And, you know, again, Stranger Things, very, very popular. And yeah, there are some similarities there as well. I mean, season 3 of Stranger Things took place in Hawkins, Indiana in 1984. Well, guess what else happened in 1984? Was the first year of the original Ninja Turtle comic book that was produced by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. So there are similarities there as well. And, you know, that's why we chose the original comic book turtles to team up with the Stranger Things characters, both from that same 1984 era. And then when it comes to Street Fighter, you know, again, a very, very popular video game that had its roots in the 1980s, similar to Ninja Turtles. So doing a collaboration, and this year too is the 35th anniversary of Street Fighter. So to help celebrate that anniversary, you know, we did a versus pack between Ninja Turtles and Street Fighter.
Yeah, out of the three collaborations, they're all great, but those Street Fighter figures, they're Ryu and Chun-Li, are,
yes,
gorgeous. They are two of like sleeper, and you know, I would have never imagined that was the figure that, you know, we'd be getting out of that, you know, with just kind of thinking like the style of the turtles and everything. Like, they're probably the two best versions of those characters in at least a decade, you know, in that scale. They are unbelievably good.
Thank you. No, look, it's been a lot of fun to work on, and you know, our work colleagues at Capcom as well as at Nickelodeon obviously have been very cooperative, and you know, we collaborated continually on doing it, and you know, I think we came up with some pretty good sets. And, you know, another thing that I think really sets them off is the packaging as well. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Cobra Kai versus Turtles or Stranger Things and Street Fighter, you know, the theme of the package, I think, does a very good job of displaying the figures that are contained within that package.
Yeah, and the other thing too is if you're, you know, a fan of any of the properties, it's, you know, it's a way to get that property, but it also is like, well, all right, now I need more Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So it's kind of like it's bringing you into potentially into something that you didn't collect before.
Yeah, definitely. Really
cool. Or even somebody who, you know, like, you know, had a touch point.
Fan.
Yeah, I was going to say had a previous touch point with the Turtles at some point in their youth, but is like super into Cobra Kai right now and really wants a John Kreese action figure. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, sweet, this is a Ninja Turtle and a gi. Now I want the other three.
Yeah, and, you know, that's one of the great things, like I said earlier, is, you know, the Turtles are very malleable, and you can tie those to a lot of different properties, and, you know, people find it appealing. And I think, you know, the fans find this appealing as well.
So we saw the new sculpt for the Last Ronin figure in two colorways this year, and the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mayhem film is scheduled to be released sometime in 2023. Can we expect new toys around these properties?
Yeah, definitely. For Last Ronin, obviously, we did the Last Ronin, like you said, in two different ways. That was a Diamond exclusive. And we're looking to do the other three Last Ronin Turtles as well sometime in 23, possibly in as late as 2024. And in regards to the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem film, yeah, we'll have a complete toy line centered around that movie that we've been working on now, gosh, probably for the last about 9 months. And we're very, very excited about, and, you know, it's been a lot of fun to work on that as well. It's being produced by Seth Rogen and his team at Point Grey Studios in collaboration with Paramount Pictures. And it's been a lot of fun to work on.
So, I mean, is there any rough timeline on that yet? Because I know, like, you know, especially in today's, you know, in today's climate, you know, a lot of times things are, you know, kind of nebulous when it comes to reveals and shipping and availability and all of those things. But, like, is there any sort of rough timeline as to when, you know, we might see some toy reveals or anything, you know, to do with that film?
Yeah, I mean, the toy line is definitely under development now. And we are in discussions with Paramount on when we want to unveil the toy line. Probably happens sometime in spring of 23. And then the toys will hit shelves late June of 23, leading up to the movie release date, which is slated for August 4th of 2023.
Awesome. Awesome. So before we head into our last question, this conversation that we just had with you guys made me think of a question that I didn't think of prior to this interview, and I'm just curious. So Playmates has had so many really cool brands, and, you know, we talked about kind of like these relaunches of Star Trek and, you know, this kind of renaissance in the Turtles. If you guys could take one previous Playmates toy line and kind of revive it and bring it back, which would it be?
I think for me, it would be Simpsons. You can tell I'm a Simpsons fan. You know, I know that, you know, Simpsons has obviously been going strong for all these years, and there's a lot of characters that maybe we didn't get to do the first time around, and you know, maybe we could find a new and inventive way, kind of make them a little bit different this time around. But I would probably say Simpsons, and I'd probably say Simpsons.
From my standpoint, you know, I guess I'm living it from the standpoint of Ninja Turtles, because, you know, we are producing toys for this next movie, and just seeing how, you know, whether it's the TV show, the comic book, or the movies have evolved over the years has been, you know, something amazing. And just the fact that we are doing another version of Ninja Turtles is unbelievable. And the fact that the fan base is still as passionate about it today as they were back in the 80s and 90s just speaks to the brand itself. And, you know, who would have thought a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle from back in the 80s would be as popular today as it was back then. So, I guess I'm privileged enough to say that I'm kind of, my wishes come true, I guess, because I'm working on it. I'm doing it. So that to me is very, very special and cool.
Dave, do you have one? Because I certainly do.
I mean, Toxic Crusaders is an easy answer, but that like that World of Springfield line was just, I mean, I'd be hard pressed to say that at that time that anybody was missed. I think every I'm just trying to go, you know, down the alphabet, like every like character through like letter J was, you know, level character was included.
Including like the celebrities. Like I remember like the Bret Hart mm-hmm. figure and the Weird Al one.
Hank Scorpio.
Hank Scorpio. Yeah. There were some good ones.
But I think the only thing that would be like kind of in the same vein as Star Trek in that regard of like, okay, here's what's been new since these figures came out, you know, in what, like 2005, 2006? But like even the playsets, like it was
deep.
It's a line that I wish I had dipped my toe into, but would never have been able to like safely dip my toe into. And with all the playsets, you need like you almost need like a floor of a house to get those.
So I was hoping, so obviously I've kind of hinted at it before. I have a penchant for that Toxic Crusaders line. I absolutely love it. So I was kind of hoping though, Dave, that you were going to say it. So that way I didn't have to like cop out and do like a this line or this line, but it would be two lines for me. Two of my favorite toy lines of all time, which were like, I don't want to say like weird, obscure lines. Cause I don't think they are, but, Toxic Crusaders is one of them. But I loved the Dick Tracy line.
Yeah.
Those cars, the figures, the accessories, such a cool line. They were good figures. So, and I still have a couple of those. I still have both of the cars, and I have like a handful of the figures left. I don't have too many of them. They didn't make the childhood transition. But I definitely have like Dick Tracy. I have Flat Top, and then I think I have like Prune Face. But yeah, those were super cool figures.
That was a good line. That was a good line.
Yeah.
That movie doesn't get enough love. all right, so guys, with that, we're going to head into our final question here. Before we let you go, Dave, would you like to fulfill your role as this podcast's James Lipton and ask our final question?
Why, yes, I would. So the final question that we ask to all of our guests: what is your favorite and or strangest piece in your collection? It can be one of each, or it can be both.
Gosh.
Well, I think for me, there's probably a couple, actually. It's the things that maybe you were a little embarrassed that you worked on. One is a particular item from... The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. I'm talking about the Jim Carrey movie.
All right.
Yeah, there was a particular a doll that made sounds, and it was just a weird toy. And then the other one that I worked on was Chicken Run from Aardman Studios. So I still have all those figures as well. And I would definitely say those were probably the strangest ones that I worked on. And like everything else, they were fun in their own ways to work on. But in the end, they were probably the strangest.
Chicken Run. Dave, you took me to see that in the theaters.
Yeah.
It was a good movie. The toy line was good, but, you know, I don't know. If kids just didn't want to play chickens, I guess. But
it's a weird animal. Like, you know, it's a weird animal to be. You know, the movie was great. I love the claymation and everything, but like,
yeah of course, right. Yeah.
Like, yeah, let's play chickens.
It's not aspirational to be a chicken or a rooster.
Well, there's the title of this episode. It's not aspirational to be a chicken.
There you go.
It's great. Great.
Pat, do you have one?
For me, there's two lines that I worked on that, you know, was fun to work on them, but never quite performed as well as what I had hoped. And one wasn't so much our fault. One was called Doc Dread. And I don't know if you guys remember Dr. Dreadful, where you mix the different components to produce different flavored candies.
The food lab.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember the food lab, the skeleton.
Yeah, the food lab.
The bandana. Yeah.
Yeah, so we were working on a toy called Doc Dread, and we had gone out, reached out to the different food companies, and was working with this food company that, you know, promised top quality powders that would, you know, taste good, taste great, and would be a, you know, wouldn't have any issues. Well, we had an issue where the pouches that the food powders were contained in were breaking open in transit from the Orient to the U.S. And obviously, because of that, the product line never made it to market. And I just remember going, you know, back and forth dealing with the food company, trying to figure out what was wrong. And I think that was one product line. I think it made it to market, but you know, never really had a chance after going through that. And then there was another product line I worked on called Revs, which was similar to Transformers. But instead of having all the parts, transforming parts connected, they were separate pieces that you could basically customize and build your own unique looking robots. And, you know, a lot of fun to work on, but unfortunately didn't quite do as well as what I'd hoped it would do, but still a lot of fun to work on, you know, to this day, I guess.
Awesome. Well, Pat, John, thank you guys so much for taking the time to be on the show. It's been absolutely amazing talking all things Playmates with you guys. Remind us, where can we find, I don't know if you guys are on social media, if you're on Instagram or Twitter, but where can we find you? Where can we find out more about Playmates? Where can we get all of the information from?
Well, probably our website, playmatestoys.com. And from there, you can link out to our social media. And then specific to Star Trek, we did create its own website. And that is playmatesstartrektoys.com. And you'll get a full Star Trek experience when you go on that one as well. And again, from there, you can link out to our social media from there as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we have a YouTube channel as well. And yeah, check out all our toys on those different platforms.
Awesome. Thank you guys again so much for joining us. Dave, send us home.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.